from our Just Measures Radio is on the air.
All systems go.
Path has led you to the Tinker's Shop here on Just Measures Radio. I welcome you. Please come in, sit down, have a seat. We all must remember that we are the library for those who come after us, and we must share our knowledge with those who need it.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care, I'm still free. You can't take the sky from me. Take me out to the blast. Tell them I ain't coming back. Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me. There's no place I can be since I found serenity. But you can't take the sky from me.
Good evening, my friends. Good evening once again. Yes, tonight is Saturday night, once again, here for the Tinker Shop, and it is the 1st of February, 2014. So, hopefully everybody has been keeping themselves warm this week. I know it's been quite a week here. Everybody's been getting cold and chilled to the bone, I guess, all over the country. Of course, yes, Atlanta, that was an interesting case this week. They got 2 inches of snow, and basically the whole darn city got paralyzed. Amazing. Heck, we had snow twice today that we both times got better than an inch. Matter of fact, I think it was probably closer to 2 inches on one of the storms, and it's just like, oh, okay, we had a little more white stuff come down. So, what can you say? At different areas. So we have to put up with different things wherever we're at. So, let's see here. Tonight, let's see here. What do we have on tap here? I guess probably the first thing I should probably do is get everybody out to the web page. And that, here, I'll go ahead and copy that, and I'll drop it here into the chat room. Since I can find it again here. There we are. Okay. That's our webpage, out at www.arlen-tower.com/, with a capital T for Tinkers, _shop. And what you're going to see out there tonight is I decided that the shop was getting a little messy here, so I went ahead and revamped our webpage here a little bit. You know, it's... you know, a few small changes. The archive or the podcast here. I've got a little speaker over here to the right-hand side now, so if anyone ever decides that they want to listen just to the audio portion of the show, they'll just be able to pick the day and click the speaker. And so what we'll do here, let me go ahead and I'll just head on down here a little bit. Down near the bottom, I also have my little list of, you know, possible upcoming shows, which decide to set it up like a note card here. So if anyone has any suggestions, you know, please feel free to drop them into the chat room. And if I know something about it, I'll be happy to share what little knowledge I might have. Okay, so let's do this. If we go ahead up here to the link here for the 2nd of February. Oh boy, I got the wrong date on there. 1st of February, it should read. For handheld garden tools, go ahead and click on that. And what we're going to do here tonight is because I ran myself a little bit out of time last week, I ended up having to, shall we say, leave part of the show for this week. So what we're going to be doing is going through the construction of a Dutch hole as versus the Japanese hole, and also about how to make a garden machete. And give people a few seconds here to get in place, I guess I could say. Okay, so if you go ahead and scroll about two-thirds of the way down the page, you'll see the section here where I have my quote-unquote Dutch-style hole. And this is actually one of several which I made a couple years back. Actually, I had somewhat of a demand for a while where people were asking me to make these around the area here, and so I, shall we say, made up a pile of them. And this was, overall, the length on it, it's about 34 inches long, and I used quarter-inch spring steel. And again, like I'd said, a lot of my spring steel that I get is recycled garage door or overhead door springs. And again, this was done the same way as always. I'd taken a garage door spring, cut it probably into maybe foot long sections, so it'd be easier to handle, because doggone garage door spring, when you get one from wherever you can find it for recycling, those things are probably about 3 to 4 foot long, and it's like trying to hold a rope straight out. You can't do it. They're kind of floppy. So if you cut them down to about a 12 to 16 inch length, coiled up, makes it easier to handle. And again, for the process of straightening them, and just kind of recap, the way I do it, I actually just go ahead and stick it in my forge. Actually, I usually use my gas forge that I have because I get a little bit more even and a faster heat out of it. But I go ahead and stick the section of coiled spring into the forge and begin heating it. And when I am ready to straighten the spring, once the metal gets up to, I'd say, a nice golden color. Again, you don't want to take any metal up to white heat, because if you take it up to white heat, it's going to start kicking off sparks, and those sparks are small particles of carbon, and the carbon is what hardens the steel. So you don't want to burn that off. Once it gets heated up, I take a chunk of black iron pipe, again, black iron, not galvanized. I put it in there, drag it out, and I'll grab one end of the where it's cut off with a vice grips. I have someone else hold it on the ground, and I'll just literally pull it off the pipe, just like it's like a thread off of a spool. And if it's done fast enough, it'll only take one heat to get the majority of it straightened. At that point, it gets cut into manageable lengths. In this case, what I did was I took and cut the cooled spring that had been straightened. I cut it off at about 36 inches long. Once I had it cut to length, I went ahead, straightened it to take any little waviness or curlies out of it. And so at that point, I'll go ahead and just kind of leave the metal sit and let it cool here in theory. If we go ahead down to the next picture here, you'll see the handle for these. The handle is made out of 1-inch diameter dowel stock. You could even use a piece of broomstick. If you didn't have dowel, you could use a broomstick. Or if you want to get fancy, you can carve a handle out. But like I said, in this case, I used 1-inch dowel, about 6 inches long. And what I did, once I had it cut to length, I went ahead and, how best to explain it? I went ahead and drilled a 1/4-inch hole in one end, you know, drilled it in about 2.5 inches long. The big key on there, and the hardest thing to do is to get it so it's drilled square. Can be done, it's just, you just have to be careful with it and make sure you get the hole running directly down through the center of the handle. Once I had that done, I took a chunk of copper water line that was about 3/4 inch inside diameter and cut that off at 1/2 inch long. Basically, what I made was like a really fat ring. Once I had that ring made, then I went ahead and took another small section of rod, of 1/4-inch rod. Or, if you want, you could even use your drill bit that you use to drill your hole in there. And I put a chunk of the 1/4-inch rod inside the hole, so basically it was acting as a center, I guess you could say. I went ahead then and clamped it in my drill press and had it on a fairly slow speed then, and I took a file and literally planed down or turned down that wooden dowel to the point where the copper ring would just slide on there. And I made the step that I cut in that just a hair longer than the copper ring. So now the logic behind this. When you have a handle on any sort of garden tool, or any other tool for that matter, if it's just straight wood and you just have a whole board in there and you shove the tang, I guess you could say, or the handle of your tool into the wooden handle, it's not supported. You know, that wood can split, you know, because if you get too much pressure on it sideways, somehow you can crack it and split it. So what the copper ring does is when you can fit that just barely onto the wooden handle, that will reinforce that, because that copper ring is not going to split as easily as wood. You know, to split a copper ring with sideways force, it would take an awful lot. So, with mounting the copper ring now, the way I do that is, once the handle is formed, I take a small amount of glue. Usually what I end up using is Gorilla Glue. It's a really good product, and it's basically it's a foaming glue. Once it gets exposed to air, it'll expand slightly and basically hold something in place darn near forever. So the way I do it, I put a small bead of Gorilla Glue around the inside of the copper ring, and I go ahead and push it onto the wood. And then I can go ahead and allow it to dry. And one moment. Yes, I've got one of those colds that Mom and Tonka's had. So it's sometimes kind of a bear. You know, you end up kind of wanting to cough every so often. So, let's go back to the wooden handle. Once you have your copper ring installed on the wooden handle, you can just go ahead and let it dry. Yeah, because it'll take a little bit of time. But it's well worth it. And after it's dried, you're going to find that a little bit of this glue is going to have pushed itself or squeezed itself out, both around the end where the hole is in and also at the opposite end of the ring, closer to the body of your handle. It'll have squeezed itself out. So what you just need to do is just clean that up. You can use like a pocket knife is what I usually use. I'm usually carrying a couple of them with me at all times, but you can just kind of trim that away and you'll be in fairly decent shape at that point. And so next thing, it's about the, we'll go ahead and move down here, you know, one or two more rows here. Okay, so this is where we got three photos of the, I guess you could say the business end, or the actual hoe end. And if we go ahead with the top picture of that trio, let's see how best to explain this. You'll want to go ahead at this point and heat your shaft. And you'll want to go ahead and flatten that out to probably about half of its thickness, down to about an eighth of an inch thick. So what you do is you heat it up, again, up to, you know, a good red to, you know, between red and gold in color, you know, a good heat. And you just go ahead on your anvil or your striking surface, and you can actually work basically just on one side. You don't need to flip this back and forth. And it might take one or two heats, but just go ahead and hammer that out and flatten it. And what you'll end up with is, again, kind of a lozenge shape. And so once you have it, you know, beaten out to shape to, you know, about 2 inches up the shaft, what you want to do at that point, again, is just let it cool naturally. Don't put it in water. Just let it cool down on its own. The reason for that is if you go ahead and quench that end, it's going to harden it. And you don't want to do that just yet. Because the next step is going to be you're going to have to drill a couple holes. I myself, when I'm doing tools of this sort, I actually use 10-penny nails. I know, a lot of people go, nails? But it's they're fairly efficient. I'll just put it that way. Because they can be cut off to length when you get ready to do your riveting. And they make a good soft rivet. So now at this point, once you're once your shaft is cooled, what you want to do is just drill a couple holes in the near the end of the shaft. One just about down to the end, and the other one probably want to go up about 3/4 of an inch or so. Because you don't want to go all the way up to the top because you need just to save yourself some working room. And like I said, here I used a drill that I sized to make sure I could fit a number 10 or a 10-penny nail through it. So now, let's see here. How best to explain this here, the next point. Now, let me just do it this way. At this point, once you have your holes drilled and you try it to see if a nail will fit through there, if it does, then you're in good shape. So at that point, just go ahead, reheat the end of your shaft one final time here, and then go ahead and bend it at about, let's see, about an inch and a quarter from the end. And you want to bend it to a fairly decent 90 degree angle. And so that'll be where your blade will fit on for the hole. And I think what I'm going to do here is, because I'm starting to get kind of a catch in my throat, so I'm going to take a short break here because it's about 20 minutes past the hour. And let me do this. I'm going to just kind of put a fun tune in here, and hopefully everybody can enjoy it. And so we'll do this and a commercial, and then we will be back for continuing on. So bear with me, and I'll see you probably here in about 4 minutes.
We were drinking down to Reedy's house when first we heard the blow. It seemed to come from Ripper Rock, so boldly forth we go. And sure enough, the rusty pump could just be barely seen. As her stern was high up in the air, we made out Athens Queen. Oh, the lovely Athens Queen. Me boys, I must remind you, there's a bubble left inside. So let us go and have a few and wait until low tide. And if the sea's not blamed her when the glasses are licked clean, we will then set forth some dories, lads, and see what may be seen on the lovely Athens Queen. Some songs and old tall stories then came out to pass the time. Nor could a single bottle keep us all until low tide. And so it was before we left the house we were at sea. So I scarcely can remember how we made the Athens Queen. Oh, the lovely Athens Queen. Oh, the waves inside me belly were as high as those outside. And though I'm never seasick, I lost dinner overside. 'Twas well there was no crew to save, for we'd have scared them green. We could scarcely keep ourselves from falling off the Athens Queen. Oh, the lovely Athens Queen. Well, Reedy goes straight down below and comes up with a cow. Hello, I said, now what would you be wanting with that now? You'll never take a cow home in a dory on such sea. Well, me son, he says, I've always fancied fresh cream in me tea for the lovely Athens Queen. I headed for the galley then, as I was rather dry. And glad I was to get there quick, for what should I espy? Oh, what a shame it would have been for to lose it all at sea. 40 cases of the best Napoleon brandy ever seen on the lovely Athens Queen. I loaded 20 cases, boys, then headed for the shore. Unloaded them as quick as that, and then pulled back for more. Smith was pulling for the shore, but he could scarce be seen. Under near 200 chickens and a leather couch of green from the lovely Athens Queen. Well, here's to all good salvagers, likewise to Ripper Rock. And to Napoleon brandy, of which now we have much stock. We eat a lot of chicken and sit on a couch of green. And we wait for Ripper Rock to claim another Athens Queen. Oh, the lovely Athens Queen.
That's what I like to see, bullseyes, every time. And you can do the same thing with Byers Barrels. As long as you do your part, the custom barrels that you get from Byers Barrels will deliver award-winning accuracy shot after shot. Byers Barrels specializes in standard and 1-in-9-inch twist match-grade 22 long rifle barrels for the Ruger 10/22 and AR-15. If you want to win, visit their site at ByersBarrels.com. That's B-E-Y-E-R Barrels.com. Or you can call Clint at 360-374-9476 and tell him you heard it on the Shooting Fence, would you? Let him know that his advertising money is doing him some good.
Okay, I'm back, my friends. I do apologize. My voice was getting a bit dry there, and I was just feeling like I was going to have kind of a coughing fit there, so I figured, it was time for me to take a small break. So for that, I do apologize. I should probably also let you know it's I do apologize for seeming to be kind of wandering all over the scenery tonight, but this week has not been a good week for my eyes. I'll just put it that way. So I've been, I've probably been kind of repeating myself or possibly even contradicting myself to what I have up there on the webpage. So I do apologize for that. It's been kind of a hard week for the eyes. So it's, but they're getting better, little by little. I have to admit that. Yes. So, anyhow, to continue on. Now we're going to get down to the business end of the hole here. You know, we've gotten our shaft made at this point, hopefully. We've also gotten our handle made. So our next step is going to be making the actual blade itself. And the way I did this, I just dug around in my scrap box, and I grabbed out a piece of steel plate. It's not as thin as your standard hole. You know, most of the time with when you buy a hole, it'll be a larger piece of metal, but it's thinner. And unfortunately, that's the problem with a lot of commercial hoes. The hose will bend very easily. You know, they'll twist out of shape if you're trying to do any decent work with them. Or they rust out rather quickly because they're thin. What I did was I went ahead and used a chunk of 3/32 of an inch steel plate. And again, it's just shy of an eighth inch thick. You could actually use eighth inch as well if you want, but that'll, you know, obviously add to the weight of it. And what I did was when I made these, I actually made multiples at a time. So I started out with a chunk of steel plate that was about 4.5 inches long by about 2.5 inches wide, and then I went ahead and cut it on the diagonal. So basically what you have is just a plain right triangle. And so obviously, you know, can't really give you a dimension for the length of the long blade on there. But, you know, if you have it 4.5 inches on the, you know, the middle length side and 2.5 on the other, you're going to end up the same sized one that I had. So what I did at that point was I have mentioned on here that the two longer are sharpened after you drill the mounting holes. Reason for that is if you're trying to drill holes through a piece of metal, sometimes those puppies want to, you know, twist on you, and it's better to get hit with the square edge rather than a knife edge. So it's, you know, like I said, that's the way you want to do it, your sequence. So what you do is, with this, you go, your first hole that you'll want to drill is about 3/4 inch down and 3/4 inch over from the right angle that's on in the corner. But what you'll want to do is, like I said, drill that first hole, you know, up near the corner. And then take a 10-penny nail. If you're going to be using them for rivets, they're also going to work really good as guides. So what you'll want to do is fit the nail through the first hole and then fit it through the hole closest to the bend on the handle. At that point, you can go ahead and just kind of shift it around a little bit, because you don't want those two holes in line with the middle-sized leg of it. You're going to want them to be just slightly off kilter, probably about 7/8 inch to an inch from the edge. And the reason for that is it just helps with the balance on it. So once you have that pin put through the first hole, you can mark your second hole on the plate. You know, just take a magic marker, a pencil, you know, something of that sort, so you can get a spot to where you're going to drill at. Mark it well, disassemble it, and get your second hole drilled in. Once your two holes are in there to where they can be lined up, so at that point, then you can go ahead and sharpen the edges. Myself, usually I just sharpen the two longer edges, and, you know, however you want to do it, you know, or whatever the tools you have. If you have a bench grinder, you can do it on there, but just be really careful. You know, you don't want to get your fingers sucked into a bench grinder. It has a tendency of hurting a little bit. Another possibility is if you have a small Makita grinder. Yeah, I know, I'm using the term Makita generically here, by the way. You know, a small hand grinder. You can get the majority of your angle or your edge cut with that. Once you have your angles cut most of the way, then at that point, go ahead and clamp your blade into a vise and, you know, finish sharpening it that way. It's can be kind of a tedious process, but you don't want to take it down too much in any one area at a time, because you want to maintain that nice, sharp, straight edge on there. So once you have your two sides sharpened on there, you know, go ahead and test fit everything together again to make sure that it's all going to line up. If it does, at that point you want to go ahead and paint the shaft of your hole. And once the paint's dried, then you go ahead and cut a couple of the 10-penny nails to length. Again, it's just a case of sliding them through both the holes in the head of the hole and through the holes that are in the handle. Mark them to where you have, oh, roughly an eighth of an inch sticking through. Take and cut those nails off. And again, at this point, you know, it's going to be kind of a, shall we say, kind of a dance to, you know, hold everything together. But as a hint, until you get used to it, take a couple pieces of tape, or even just a short section of duct tape. Push your homemade rivets through the hole blade and just hold them in place there with the duct tape. Go ahead and then get them through the holes in the shaft and turn it up on your anvil, your striking surface, and go ahead and just peen your rivets down. Again, it's not so much a case of instantaneously mashing them down. My suggestion would be to, if you have a ball peen hammer, just start tapping lightly right there in the middle of it. So you can just start mushrooming it out a little bit. Once it's mushroomed out a little bit, then you can increase the force of your blows and basically hammer both rivets down until you have a good tight fit. You don't have to mash them until they're, you know, thin as paper or anything. Because if you do that, it's going to be too wide and it's going to break off. Basically, what you want to do is just mushroom it down so it fills the hole in the shaft really well, and then you basically have a domed surface. Once your blade is attached to your shaft, at that point, you can go ahead and go back to the other end, and this is when you can go ahead and install your wooden handle. Again, with the wooden handle, what you'll want to do with that is, again, if you have something like Gorilla Glue, go ahead and just drizzle a couple drops of Gorilla Glue down inside that shaft, or down inside the hole in the handle. Start the shaft in to the hole, and then just tap it on down with a hammer. Again, you don't have to be, you know, brutal about it. You just want to get the shaft into the handle far enough to where it really holds. If you can get it your full 2 inches that you drilled the hole, you're golden. You're in great shape. And again, what you're going to find is once you get that driven in there, your Gorilla Glue is going to want to expand again. It's going to foam and come out from around the shaft. Once it's come out and it's dried, you can go ahead and trim it off. At that point, you can either leave your wood handle raw, or you can stain it up, oil it up, or treat it however you want to. I would suggest at a minimum, just go ahead and oil it with something, because you want to protect the thing from the weather. Because I'll guarantee you, it never fails. unless you're really religious about picking up all your tools every time you leave the garden, you're going to forget the thing. And so it's going to get sunlight on it. It's going to get rain on it. It'll get overnight moisture. So, you know, proper care of care and feeding of your hole. Keep the blade oiled up lightly, something like mineral oil. Or even baby oil. WD-40 works good. Marvel Mystery Oil. You know, any of these. But you just want to just keep a light coat on there when you have it cleaned up. The handle, again, I would say either vegetable you can use vegetable oil or baby oil or WD-40. It smells nice. So that's pretty much it for the generalized process for building a Dutch-style hole. I always have this problem. I always keep confusing the two, keep calling it either a Japanese hole or a Dutch-style hole. And again, like I've said in the past, the biggest difference between a Japanese-style hole and a Dutch-style hole is the diameter of the shaft. The Japanese hole is probably 3/16 of an inch. The Dutch hole is generally about a quarter of an inch. So I think perhaps what I'm going to do here at this point, since it is now 9:41 in the evening by my ticky-tacky, I'm going to go ahead here and I'm going to put a couple pieces of music in here again. And, yeah, I'll just go with a couple pieces of and then I guess we should probably put a real station break. Be right back. We'll be back and talking in about 6 minutes here.
As we were out hunting one morning in the spring, goats, hounds, and horses running, only the hills and the valleys ring. But to our great misfortune, no fox there could be found. Our huntsmen cursed and swore, but still no fox moved over the ground. And it spoke our master huntsman, the master of the chase. If only the devil himself come by, we'd run in such a race. And up there sprung like a lightning,
phrase too late as a warning that silver and gold prices would soon skyrocket, and thus they have this year. With our current financial predicament, you might want to consider someone who supplies silver American Eagles and other precious metals, a family dealer up in Mount Vernon, Indiana. Just Measures Coin Shop. Call Bobby at 812-305-7091 or click on the link at my homepage at johngaltfla.com.
Pull your brother one more round, pick each other off the ground, let another chorus sound. Pull your brother another round, draw another draft for me, drink till I'm too blind to see. This one's done, pray get me three.
Draw another draft for me and pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song and pull your brother another round. Cheers to the brewer for his brew. Without the sail we cannot do. Drink until the cask is through. Cheers to the brewer for his brew. Pour your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song. Pour your brother another round. Cheers to the barmaid, she's a saint. It's wondrous how she stands a straight. Catch me, lass, I'm going to faint. Cheers to the barmaid, she's a saint. To pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the crown. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Dance unto the drummer's beat. Drink with everyone you meet. Your head'll dance without your feet. Dance unto the drummer's beat. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Cheers to the lad upon my knee. Heaven bound I soon will be. It ain't a sin because it's free. Cheers to the lad upon my knee. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Here's to the lords and to the crown. Here's to the lady in the loca gown. A shame it's not just a little more down. Here's to the lords and to the crown. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Lassies say they never drink. They're scrubbing pots and pans, you think, but they keep the mead below the sink. Lassies say they never drink. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Pour your sister one more glass. Catch the ale on the second pass. Catch the law with that wondrous. Pour your sister one more glass. Pour your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Cheers unto my faithful friend. For on the sail his gold I'll spend. The friendship and the song may end. But cheers unto my faithful friend. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round. Pull your brother one more round. Pick each other off the ground. Let another chorus song pull your brother another round.
Yes. Needless to say, my friends, one of these weeks, between Tinkerbell and I, I'm going to be going ahead and starting to do another batch of homemade beer. So what we're going to do when I do that, we're going to go ahead and have the camera ready. And as we go through the various stages or the steps for doing the brewing, we'll be going ahead and photographing it and documenting it. And, well, as I've said before, beer brewing is not rocket science. You know, it can be done. The biggest thing is to make sure you got everything clean. So, with that said, let me go ahead here. I'll go ahead and finish up the last section here on this page, because I don't want to take this page into a third week. What can I say? It's, you know, again, not rocket science, but it's things that just can be done fairly easily. So, the last, let's see, what was it here? The last quartet, I guess, of photos here. I've got this section labeled Homemade Garden Chete. And this particular garden machete. It looks almost like a sword, I guess, but, well, actually, they're basically the same darn thing, except swords are meant for cutting other things than weeds. This particular one was inspired, let's see, what was it now? I think it was, what, about 3 years ago, was that Tinkerbell? Yep, she agrees, about 3 years ago. We had an explosion of pumpkin plants in our garden. Unfortunately, when we had started a bunch of plants ahead of time, they weren't segregated properly, and someone had gone, well, gee whiz, there's a half a dozen of this, and about 10 of this over here, and a half a dozen of these other ones, all in little peat pots, and I'd originally just kind of had a small tag just stuck into each tray to keep everything sorted out. And they were like, well, there's all this wasted space. So they threw all the little peat pots all in the same tray and kept them watered for me. And unfortunately, what several of those were summer squashes, butternut squashes, a whole bunch of pumpkins, and some zucchini types. Well, unfortunately, of that whole bunch, the pumpkins were basically the most aggressive ones. I had originally intended those to be in our back garden, along with the butternut squash. And I was going to keep the summer squashes and the zucchinis in the front garden. Unfortunately, they all got planted in the same bed in the front garden. And the beds were about, it's raised bed gardens. So the beds were about 3.5 foot wide by about 20 foot long. And so we had about 12 pumpkin plants all placed in place in this small little bed. And what happened was the pumpkin plants went absolutely insane. And so we ended up with about a 4.5 or 5 foot tall mound of pumpkin vines. And they had gotten out of the bed and got into both beds on both sides of it. And it got to the point where I could no longer keep catching the crawlers and throwing them back in the middle bed. So I finally decided one day, enough's enough. I need more than a pruning shears or a butcher knife to get at these things. And so that inspired me. So what I did was I went out to the garage, dug around in my scrap bin, and I found, let's see here, found a piece that was almost 2 foot long. Actually, here, let's see, I actually measured it the other day. It was 21.5 inches long from the point to the end of the hilt. And it started out as 1¾ inches wide by about 1/8 inch thick. And this was just some soft steel stock. It wasn't a hardened steel or high carbon steel or anything else. So it made it fairly quick and easy to work with. And what I did with that was I went ahead and let's see, I'm trying to see on the photos here if we can really see what the tip looked like. No, I don't have a real good image of the tip, unfortunately. But what I did on the tip was I actually took and, you know, figured ahead how I was going to do it, because I decided I wanted to have a hook on there. So I just took my hacksaw and just basically sawed it roughly to a spear point or a shovel type point on it, and once I had that done, I went and heated it up just a little bit and kind of hammered the edges just to start with getting a little bit of a thinner edge on it. And before I heated it, I went ahead and cut the notch in there. Basically took about 1/4 inch notch into the point to where I figured I'd end up with my hook on it. So went ahead with that, you know, got my rough shape there, took again my hand grinder and basically trued up the edges. You know, like I said, I first heated it up a little bit to hammer it slightly to squeeze the edges a little bit to save myself a little time. And then I went ahead and basically ground a blade onto this. I also went ahead at the handle end and, you know, going with the pictures here, if you look at it, it's a wooden handle. It's what they're referred to as slab sides. And what I did was literally went ahead and took and relieved the sides on both edges just a little bit by about a quarter of an inch to just make it a little bit handier for hand width, because if you have something that's an inch and three quarters wide, it's kind of big to hold on to. So I narrowed it down, and let's see here. What do I have here? Inch and a quarter. You know, narrowed it to that point. So in other words, I took about a quarter inch off each side straight back. At that point, I did go ahead and drill through the metal of where the handle was going to go on. I got myself two pieces of wood that were, 3/8 of an inch thick, roughly. Between 3/8 and a quarter of an inch. And then I went ahead and drilled them so they would match the holes going through the handle. The next step that I did was, and this is an optional one, this is just something I did. I made myself a small hand guard. The way I did that was I drilled a couple holes in another piece of strap stock. This was 1/8 inch thick by 1 inch wide by about 5 inches long. And what I did was I drilled two holes in that that were about 1 1/4 inches apart. And then I went ahead and, you know, basically worked my way through and cut myself a slot in there. So that way my hilt would slide through the slot in the handle. Bent it just a hair, again, like I said, just as a guard. Once I had that ready, I took in my slab side pieces, which I went ahead and made them just slightly larger, and went ahead and riveted them on to the handle. You know, made them so they would fit up good and tight against the guard. Riveted on, and then I went ahead and used my good old Makita, my hand grinder, and just went ahead and trimmed down the wood for the handle. It was a quickie project. It took me probably, I'd say maybe an hour and a half, you know, from the time I went, oh, I need one, to, oh, okay, this works pretty good. So that was basically the process for it. And let's see here. I just looked at the clock here, and I've pretty well run myself out of time here. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just going to go ahead, if I can find it here, I'll do this. I'm going to go ahead and just, I guess I'll just go ahead and put the Highwayman in here. And I'll use that as my segue music for the night. So again, thank you for joining me here in the Tinker's Shop for the 1st of February of 2014. Thank you very much for joining me tonight. Have a very good week. God bless, and take care, and stay warm. Be well.
I was a highwayman. Along the coach roads I did ride, sword and pistol by my side. Many a young maid lost her baubles to my trade. Many a soldier shed his lifeblood on my blade. The master trumped me in the spring of 25, but I am still alive.
I was a sailor, I was born upon the tide. With the sea I did abide. I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico. I went along with the world and made some little blow. And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed. But I'm living still. I was a dam builder across a river deep and wide, where steel and water did collide. A place called Boulder over wild Colorado. I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below. They buried me in that great tomb that knows no sound. But I'm still around. I'll always be around.
Guns, self-defense, survival, current events, and your future.
Can't take me.
We're rapidly approaching desperate times. Have you prepared your family physically, mentally, spiritually to face these times? Tyrant has overstepped his authority. What will you do when he comes to your door?
You can't take me. I'm free.
Please join us here on Just Measures Radio Network for The Shooting Bench, Monday through Friday. It's easy to take liberty for granted when you've never had it taken from you.
Drink my